Blog Talk Radio.
This is the world broadcast of Imam Waris Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waris Deen Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. Radio audience, today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace of the Quran and all the Arabic. As-salamu alaykum.
Why? Why? Because the force is going to be centralized. The force is centralized. Let me see if I can give you an example. Have you ever spent atop and watched the top and saw like some kind of vibration and seeing that the faster the top spin, the more the vibrations come into the top, and the slower the top goes, the more the vibrations go outward. Speed brings it, centralizes it, right? The speed of it keeps it in its own sphere. And if it relaxes itself, it loses that tenacity, right? And the stuff is thrown out. Yes. So you see here signs, signals, in the outer appearance or in the outer workings of things, they enable us to understand our own matter and our own function, our own life better, you see? All right, so the earth is finished. But it's not throwing its water outside. It's not throwing its vegetables outside. And it's spending at the rate of how much? 1,037 and a third, we used to say. Miles per hour. See, I didn't forget my science. Yes. So it's held in because the tendency, because of the rotation and the speed and the uniformity, it's consistent. Now, if it did that, the dance you do, if it went into some of those dances, it wouldn't have that. It doesn't try to show how many freakish contortions it can make. It's conforming to one movement, consistent movement. And in doing that, the mass is uniform. The mass become uniform. Don't you know if a jagged mass is thrown out, it will eventually become uniform because of rotation? Rotation eventually makes it uniform. It creates a back gravitational field, and the gravitational field pulses the matter inward. So it centralizes the gravity of the mass. It centralizes it, and in centralizing it, it gives uniformity to the mass. So let's see if we go on. I think we can go on a little more now. Most important for us, don't forget, is the content of faith. The content of faith. Because it is not ourselves that throw ourselves into action. It is not ourselves that throw ourselves into orbit. Allah delivers us from our mothers. We had no say-so. He has designed the nature to do that, right? Yeah, so we coming out of mama whether we want, we don't ask for that. We don't ask for it. He's coming out of mama, by God. Yes. So you come out, and now you're on your own. And now you're desperate to live under new, strange situations or circumstances. So you struggle for that breath of air, right? Struggle to take that breath of air. Some take it so easy. Some children they can't get it. You have to give them a little help. Yeah, you all who know about childbirth. Some of them have to have a little help. Some get it just as easy, you never know when they took it. Right? Never even know when they took it. Then some you see that gasping for it and crying. Right? That's life, isn't it? That's life. See, that's a signal from God to tell you how you look on the adult plane when he say, look, get out of your total dependency and establish some dignity for yourself. Some come out just easy. You don't even know that they made any change. Then some you have to help them out of it. Then some they struggling like it's going to take everything in them. Help! 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 Yes. Now, let us go on. When we manage to have our needs attended and to find a rescuer there in all the critical times, we learn to have faith in this life. Frightens the hell out of us when it opens its first door to us. Yeah. Some doctor says if the human being was to be put, the grown-up, was to be put under the pressure that the infant is put under when his head emerges through the womb, the opening of the mother, say it would be too much for him. It would kill the average adult. But Allah conditioned the baby to survive it. Yes. Yes. Actually, all that pressure is on the skull and everything. And the skull is delicate at that time. If it wasn't, it wouldn't make it. Yeah. But in time, because God has made mothers and given them the mother instinct, are human beings to take over that role if mother dies? They automatically take over the role and they become a creature with mother instinct. Because Allah has done that, we grow in faith, grow in trust. Oh, yes. So don't forget, faith is most important. And Allah says that He made seven firm heavens, seven strong heaven. And he says, and look, do you find any pillars holding them up? So those are the firmaments of faith. Praise be to Allah. Now, let us continue to look at our own substance, our own individual constitution, for a source of strength, source of faith. We find that the individual human being is constituted emotionally and in many other ways. But we find most people relate to all circumstances from an emotional base. Isn't that true? I believe science would establish this. Yes. Especially psychology. That no matter what you're dealing with, whether it's getting the money to pay the rent, deciding on a wife or a husband, coping as a family, choosing a religion, whatever it is, I think it all begins from an emotional base, doesn't it? Maybe that's why our scripture says, and he began every creature out of water. Yeah. You know, water is symbolic of the emotional makeup of human beings. When we get hurt bad, we cry. Water comes out. Water, as they say, wells up in our eyes. And if we're made very happy, we cry, many of us. Water wells up in our eyes. And somebody catches after the incident or after the experience, they won't know whether you were hurt or thrilled. Say, what happened? Why are you crying? So I'm not hurt. They tickled me to death. I've been laughing like crazy. Yeah. So emotionality, a symbol of it is water. Also air, wind. Symbol of the emotional makeup of the creature. One represents just a higher stage or higher activity, a higher possibility for expression. Air, right? Because water has a tendency to be at rest. And it resists being disturbed more so than air. You touch water resists being disturbed. If you could see the movement of air when you did that, you would see a greater response than from water when you do the same, on the same volume. So the air represents a higher reaction, right? Yeah. So it must have to do with altitude and attitude, right? I guess that's why scripture says, rebuke not the water, but rebuke the air. The problem ain't in the water, it's in the air. Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful. Not us. It's wonderful what Allah has done. Oh, yes. So we are emotionally constituted, and we can't forget that. So if we are emotionally constituted, then our emotional makeup should be one of our major concerns. Man should watch over his emotional makeup. He should study his emotional makeup. Because the crook is doing it if you are not. The criminal, the thief, he studies the emotionality of the society, of the community, of the individuals, to see how can he best fish in their waters. So if you don't do it, your enemy's going to do it. You better study your own constitution. Ta'aleem. Let's continue now. Because this is wonderful. I don't think there's nothing better than knowledge and understanding. No. What's better than knowledge and understanding? Nothing. No. The latter blessing is the greater. And Allah promised believers two blessings. And the latter is the greater. Which one is the latter? Insight. Understanding. Life ain't never been as pleasant as it is when a person sees what they've been struggling with all the time behind. That's right. All right, so let's look at the emotional makeup. We can call it sentimental makeup. We know we ain't always sentimental when we're emotional. A sentimental makeup is also an upstage, right? So when we get sentimental, water drops from the high quarters, right? Yeah, we get very sentimental, water will start dropping from the high quarters. It's in the high regions, right? So when we get nervous, it might drop from anywhere. Say, oh, I have to excuse myself. Yeah. Praise be to Allah. So, we find that this makeup needs discipline. Allah created it to follow discipline. Everybody thrown out from a situation in the heavens is forced to find its discipline. It has to begin finding itself first and find its axle. It has to learn that the inner is the centralizer and begin rotating or orientating itself on the basis of what is eternally needed. And once it does that, then it can find an orbit and enjoy what is externally needed. Right? Yes, this is the Lord's world, and we try to understand it. So everything needs a discipline. The emotionality of man needs to follow discipline. Now, we find that the discipline is formed by temperature. Water get cool enough, it freezes. Get hot enough, it boils and run away. Flies away. Yeah. So we find temperature to be a factor disciplining water, right? But we find also that contour disciplines water. For the water on the earth rests in the contour of the earth that God prepared for it. By natural processes. The ocean rests in its contour. The lakes rest in their contour. The rivers flow in their contour, right? And when we make a cup, we make a contour and we drink from it. And if we want to bring somebody water, first we need a contour. Ain't got a cup, you might bring it in your hand. Leaking on the way. Right? Yeah. Another thing that disciplines water is position. Position in reference to balance. Position in reference to balance. For if a surface is perfectly balanced, we can put water on it and it won't go in any direction after it has spread over that surface. Right? That's because the surface is correctly balanced. So we can put a drop of water on a surface that's correctly balanced and it won't move in any direction. Porous textures attract the water, draws it in. Sealed texture or surface resists it. Keeps it in check. Right? You can take water and put it in a glass, and the glass surface is sealed. But if you look very closely, you'll find that the water is coming up the glass a little ways. If the water has a boundary about it, it's going to try to get over it. You can make that boundary so slick that the water can't go up high. But I don't care how slick you make the boundary, if you look very closely, with the eye of a scientist, you will find that the water has creeped up a bit to get out of the boundary. Water doesn't like to be confined. It loves balance. It is not satisfied until it has gone beyond boundaries that hold it in check. So isn't it our emotional makeup that makes us want to be free? So shouldn't we understand, where is this coming from, this desire to be free? Where is it coming from? It's coming from your emotional content. That's where it's coming from. Now, if it's coming from there, then what does that say to us? That says to us, you have to watch over your emotional content. Because capacity is only capacity. Once you go beyond capacity, you have nothing else. And if someone can keep your emotionality occupied with their concerns, there'll be no room for your concerns. This is no great revelation. This is nothing but common sense observation. Common sense observation. But you need faith in Allah to appreciate it and get turned on to that kind of thinking. Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved people, we talked about texture. You can take a porous cord and drop it down in a liquid, and that liquid will wet that whole cord. I don't care if it's 6 feet long, if there's enough liquid down there to get up that cord. Yes. I think they call that process osmosis. The tendency in water to travel up small crevices, small openings. Now let us look at another force or another situation that disciplines the water and the air, for that matter. They both operate by the same. Slightly different. We want to buy our minds on water right now. Pressure. Because of the Earth's rotation, the gravity force is inward, centralized, inward. Therefore, what is outside is pulled inward. So the air weight is bearing on the water surface. And because of the air weight bearing on the water surface, the water is held down. Not only held down because of its own gravity, but held down because of pressure, air pressure. Right? Yeah. Not only that, the blood pressure in us is so high that if it wasn't for air pressure, we would start bleeding at the nose. The air pressure is holding our blood down. This is science. Not me. This is science. So don't get your thoughts unless you want to differ with science. All right. So we find pressure is a discipline. But not only external pressure, internal pressure. Because if we create a vacuum, then we can make water go out, rise up, leave its flow level. I think they call that siphoning, right? If you want to siphon water up from its level, you create a vacuum above it. And the water will creep up the tube to connect itself again to some important air. And don't forget, Scripture says, and that old beast, that old Satan, he became a prince of the air. You know the Bible says he was in the water. Right? He was on land, he was in the water, and the book said he became a prince of the air. What does that mean? A commander of the air. A prince is a commander. Meaning he became a commander of the air. So if he commands the air, that means he is ruling the air over others. Just have patience. I feel your vibrations out there. Some of you are in trouble. It ain't no spooky vibrations either. Scientific vibrations. Now, we've talked about pressure. We've talked about these things that discipline the water. The same thing discipline your emotional makeup. Your emotional makeup is affected by pressure, externally and internally. It's affected by comfort. It's affected by invitation. If there are no openings, you just stay where you are. Those who are gravitated or are contained in their emotional makeup, they tend to become complacent. Complacent.
You've been listening to Imam Waris Deen Muhammad. Your financial support of this program, which is vital to our community, is needed and appreciated. Please send your contribution.
That's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waris Deen Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين Is it honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran and Arabic language.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah, the guardian, evolver, cherisher, sustainer of all the worlds. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, nothing is like him, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Again, we thank Allah that we're here on Sunday afternoon, midday, to address the community on the subject of knowledge and teaching in this religion, Ta'aleem. Today in this address, we're going to focus upon a concern that might be the greatest concern in the life of man. And that is the need for discipline, a discipline for achieving man's inherent worth. But first, let us have a question. The question is, are we aiming at a standard in life that complements man's capacity? And second, has religion considered the need in man to function at the level of his or her capacity? The first question, we have to answer it individually. And we can judge the workings of society and determine by what society has done in terms of it freeing that capacity in us. And then decide if society has carried out its responsibility. For the second statement, we only have to search the sources, the authentic sources of religion. Search those authentic sources of religion and examine them to see if they recognize this need in man and to see if those sources have something to say about the development of this need in man. What will now be presented is reasoned to be solid evidence pointing to religion as the foremost advocate and worker for this need in man to have his own capacity freed. Before identifying the role of religion and the religious contribution, man's capacity should be understood as a capacity and motive in consonance with his nature. I'm sure we understand what we're talking about when we say capacity. A machine has a capacity to do a certain work, to put out so much energy. We have a capacity to do work, to express what is within us, to express what Allah has put within us, faculties of intelligence, speech, etc. Many, many talents Allah has stored in every individual. In consonance with this nature or his nature, in consonance by that we mean something that is in harmony with his better instincts, with his higher and better instincts. We know in our life we have urges in us to do vulgar things at times, and there are urges in us to be noble, to do good things, to set good standards of behavior, to move higher and higher toward more and greater excellence. We know that those urges are in us too. So which of the urges now are we talking about as being identified with man's capacity? Because man also has the capacity to express himself as an animal. He has the capacity to express himself as a jinn, as a Satan. He has the capacity to do anything within the limits of this creation. But in what image is man functioning within his own capacity? It is within that image we call human. Human. First, we have to then identify man, since man is capable of functioning within the image of an animal. So we have to identify man then. And I believe this is a real serious problem for the world. If it wasn't, it wouldn't have been given in the Bible. The Bible identifies man in his struggle to gain more and greater power. And the Bible brands the man that grows materially, grows politically, grows even academically, but fails to grow humanly. The Bible identifies such creature as the beast. It says, for here is wisdom. Let him who have wisdom count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And we know that the same concept exists in Al Islam. Allah says in the Quran, and he shall brand the beast. Burn him with the hot metal, gold, poured on him for his great sin. And again, it is said that in the Sunnah of the Prophet, in the traditions of Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him, that he identified a rider upon a beast. And he called him the Dajjal, the Dajjal, the one-eyed man, the one-eyed man. And Allah says in the Quran, Allah Most High says in the Quran, and have not we given you two eyes? Dajjal, the one-eyed man. And in the climax of that theme in that surah, Allah says, but you have not made progress on the road that is steep. And what will make you understand what the road that is steep is? It is the feeding of the slaves, taking care of those in privation during times of privation. When the light of understanding is not on for the masses, rise up in the dark and guide the masses aright. When common sense is not ruling in the common people, rise up and bring common sense back to the common people. When the inability to manage one's own affairs is prevalent in the society, rise up and free the slaves. See, this is Al-Islam. This is Al-Islam. This is the Bible. This is Al-Islam. The Holy Quran came after the Bible to clear up the confusion and to complete Allah's favor for the benefit of all people, and especially for the benefit of the faithful, the believers. Praise be to Allah. The latest theme, the Muslim scholar Abu La'ala Maududi writes in his book, Islamic Way of Life, pages 30 and 31, under the heading Sanction Behind Morality. And the learned scholar Maududi, he says, although, and I quote him now, although Islam wants to cultivate a powerful and strong mass opinion which may induce individuals and groups to abide by the principles of morality which it establishes, it also aims at the evolution of a political system. Islam's moral law does not really depend on these external pressures alone. It rallies the inherent urge. It rallies the inherent urge for good, which is in every person. So I think we can establish now at least one point for religion. That according to quotes by a scholar, a learned man in the religion, and according to what I have said, which also has its source in Quran and in Bible scriptures that preceded Quran, we have established one point, and that is that it is the concern in religion that man's potential be released. That the human be freed and the beast be disciplined. Yes, this is the purpose.
that the human be freed. For want of a better word, we say human. But we know that's Western terminology. It only means color man. A man susceptible to influences, therefore he becomes colored. In higher education, they tell us not to color the facts. That means distorting, changing it. Yeah. So that means its original form is not color. So without color, we have what? Truth. When we add color, when we start coloring, we get away from truth. According to that language. Now, I didn't come here to argue with any of you folks. I'm a man who believes in the freedom of the individual to choose whatever he wants. That's right. We won't lose a friendship we never had. So if you don't care to believe, that's all right with us. Our duty is only to bring the matter before you so that it'll be clear for rational minds. And then let rational minds decide what they want. Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved Muslims, we have in this religion noble figure, giant figure. His name is Abraham. In Al-Islam, his name is Ibrahim. Peace be upon him. Ibrahim, same man, Abraham, in English, or in the Bible. And this man, according to the vision of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, this man represents the highest elevation in the release of that capacity that's within the human being. According to the vision of our prophet, peace be upon him, he saw in the vision the first ancestor, Adam. And Adam was on the first plane. And he saw above Adam on the next plane two prophets who did not descend immediately after Adam in the chronological order, but according to the gospel, he did. Because the gospel traces Jesus' genealogy through Joseph, who was not his father, through Joseph, who was not his father. Now, you all correct me if I go wrong, if you can. Because I know I can't correct everybody. I don't have the sense to correct everybody. Now, so according to the gospel, his genealogy is traced back to Adam. He said, and the Bible says, son of Adam, who was the son of God or who was God, created by God. This is the Bible. So we find in this vision of Prophet Muhammad, Adam on the first plane level. The next level, there is Jesus and John. Peace be upon them. And on the third level, another level, on the third level is Joseph, or Yusuf in our language, in the Arab language of Muslim, Yusuf. And on the fourth level is Idris. Some say he's Ezekiel. Idris on the fourth level. And then on the fifth level is Aaron, or Harun in our language. And then on the sixth level is Moses, or Musa in our language. And on the seventh level, there's none above it, is Abraham or Ibrahim, peace be on them. This is what Allah showed Prophet Muhammad in the great vision and in the great journey. A journey and vision by night, it is given in the Quran. What is the relationship now between us and these great figures? Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him, when he met introduced by Jibreel took him through the levels. He met Adam. Assalamu alaikum, my father Adam. So Adam is our father. When he met the prophets Jesus and John, peace be upon them, he said, Assalamu alaikum, my brothers, Jesus and John. So they are our brothers. They are not our fathers. And similarly, he addressed, or in the same way, pardon me, he addressed all of them until he got to the level where Abraham was. And then he said to Abraham, he said, Assalamu alaikum, Abuya Ibrahim. Peace be upon you, my father, Abraham. Which tells us that we have two fathers. Two fathers. And then God blessed him to rise up from the precincts of the Haram, which is the holy city Mecca, the sacred monuments at Mecca. He blessed him to go up from Mecca, the precincts of Mecca, from the relics there that have great meaning, the Kaaba and the surrounding relics with their great meaning. He blessed him to rise up from there, and he went upward and westward. And descended where? Upon the Mosque of the Dome in Jerusalem. The Mosque in Jerusalem. Making a connection between what? Between east and west. Between the east and west. Between the individual and his aim. Between the concept of the individual and his fulfillment in society. And but mind you now, the Jerusalem site was condemned. Even though Allah showed Prophet Muhammad the connection between the two. That one is the original capacity of man. That's the Kaaba and the symbols there. One is the original capacity of man. And the other one is the effort to bring that capacity out so they be realized for the benefit of society. And Jerusalem, according to our teachings, according to the revelation of Prophet Muhammad, Jerusalem had failed. Because Prophet Muhammad had originally directed his community to pray toward Jerusalem. And he stopped because he had difficulty with what he saw in what they had established there in Jerusalem. And then he was in wonderment as to where he should turn. And his eyes were going up to heaven to God, toward Allah. Not that Allah is not everywhere, but when man wants hope, he looks up to God. That's natural. So he was looking up to Allah for guidance. And Allah gave the revelation saying, we have beheld you, turning your vision toward the skies. Now, we will direct you to an orientation of Qibla. We will direct you to an orientation that will please you. Say, now turn yourself toward the holy house at Mecca, the Masjidul Haram, the Masjid al-Haram. Turn yourself toward the sacred precincts in the Haram. That's the name of the vicinity there in Mecca, where the Kaaba is centered. So that tells us that the Jerusalem, as it existed, was wrong. The Jews made a mistake in their interpretation of how man's potential should be brought out. Their own history establishes that. Their own scriptures establishes that, though it is also given for Muslims, that they made a mistake. The point is just one of the mistakes of the effort in Jerusalem to free the capacity of individuals. I think his name was Menachem, I'm not sure. Not Menachem Begin now. This is another one. Menachem, I think his name is in the Bible. If it's not exactly that, it's close to pronunciation. He came behind David, Solomon, and David and Solomon, and finished the ruin of Jerusalem. What finished it off was materialism. Materialism. Specifically speaking, it was taxes, taxation. See, and he overtaxed the people. He taxed the people so much that it brought about the fall of the temple. The temple there represents the government. The fall of the government of Jerusalem. Now, I hope you can appreciate this presentation today. All of us may not be interested in the same thing. You know, when we come to dinner, some like apple pie. They say, well, what are they serving today? Well, they're serving apple pie, ice cream, lamb chops, turkey and dressing. So they have a number of dishes, soup and salad, French dressing, Italian dressing, vinegar and all, whatever. You know, all of us don't have the same taste, but we hope that everybody can go away happy. Because you are our guest. You're our guest. We ain't your guest. You're our guest. So we hope that everybody can go away happy. Praise be to Allah. Let us look now at another sign in Scripture that came before. There was a great David. Peace be upon the prophet Dawood, he's called in the language of the Muslims. For after all, the Arabs had no knowledge of this until Allah revealed it in the Quran. You have to understand that. The Arabs, they didn't have this language. They didn't know Dawood, Moses. They didn't know anything about that. All this came to the Arabs with the Quran. All right. So we should treat the language of the Quran the same way we treat the language of the Bible. We don't say a man named Isaiah has a Jewish name. We say a man named Isaiah got a Bible name. Right? Right. So when we say a man named Dawood, don't say he got an Arab name. Say he got a Quranic name. Let's use the same language, same standard, same reasoning. Let's be truthful. All right.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.
And the power of this gift is